J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
For over 200 years, freedom of speech has been the cornerstone of American democracy. Yet there is one word that Washington doesn't want you to use. The word f***. The politicians want you to use words like fudge or phooey. But it's not the same as having the freedom to say, hey, f***face, go f*** yourself. Send a message to the politicians who would keep you from using f***. Vote yes on Proposition F. Proposition F guarantees your right to say f*** you, f*** it, f*** all, and f*** an A, whenever and wherever you choose. And isn't that what our f***ing forefathers f***ing fought for? This election day, vote f*** yes on Proposition F.
Paid for by the Committee to Make f*** an Accepted Part of the English Language.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, March 8th, 2022, 252 days remaining in our American system of government, as we have known. How you doing, kids? It's JC here at jcontheline.com. I finally reached the point yesterday where, you know, then you start asking yourself, does this make me a bad person? But I just couldn't watch any more war coverage last night. I just reached the point where it's like, I can't do it anymore. It's on 24 hours a day. You know, you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, turn on the TV, breaking news. You know, we talked about this yesterday, this breaking news stuff all the time. You go back to bed, you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you look, breaking news, more war stuff. And, you know, I have the TV on all day. I'm sitting here working in the studio, working on cool stuff that we're going to be playing for you perhaps the next day on the J.C. Corcoran podcast. And over the corner, I got, you know, the television on and I'm watching this. And, you know, it gets to be like 7, 8 o'clock at night and you're like, I'm not sure that it's good for me to be doing this any longer, to be watching this stuff just all day and then all night. I'm not sure it's good for my brain. So I started punching around, and sure enough, and I went straight to Facebook and let everybody else know that, hey, if you've OD'd on this stuff too, maybe, you know, this is a little brief respite. Major League Baseball channel last night was running a Cards-Mets game from 2016. Unfortunately, that was a pretty good game for 4, 5, maybe even 6 innings. Pretty good game. As you know, close score, it was 2-0, Cardinals were losing. It was just great to see players like Matt Holliday, Rafael for call, shortstop, for heaven's sakes. Adam Wainwright was pitching a hell of a game, and then the wheels came off, and the Cardinals ended up getting no hit. I had forgotten that that game took place. You know, you just sort of place it out of mind, and you forget about it, and it's not until you see the replay of the game, it's like, oh, that's right, yeah, the Mets threw a no-hitter against us. But it was still great. You know, for a while there, I was washing dishes, you know, just putting them in the dishwasher, cleaning them off, and cleaning up in the kitchen after dinner, and, you know, the TV is off in the corner there, and I'm sort of watching that, and for, like, a little brief moment, everything seemed normal. Like, that's what I would do in the middle of July. Dinner would be over, and I would be standing there at the kitchen, cleaning up the kitchen after dinner, and the ball game would be on the big screen TV over in the corner, and it almost felt like I was watching a real game. You know, make no mind that the game was 6 years old. It still worked for me, at least for a little while. So I think you have to give yourself permission to pull away from this stuff. And, you know, some of the stories, it just seems like they're getting more and more graphic. And, you know, they're warning you ahead of time, watch out here, watch out here. And I take that stuff seriously when it comes to war coverage, because, you know, you're going to see bodies laying in the street. And I just can't stand it. It just seems like they're doing more of this stuff every day. And I guess they got to report the news. And if that's what's happening, that's what you see. But all this stuff involving little kids, you know, little kids being pulled away from their family environment and their homes. And they just, some of them just look, and those are the healthy kids. Those are the healthy kids. And even they look, you know, just totally trashed. And now they do stories about, you know, the hospice getting bombed, a children's hospice getting bombed a couple of days ago. That's what we were talking about yesterday. And you just reach a point where it's like, you know what? I have to really pull my brain, pull the plug out of the wall and watch a Rob Schneider movie or something. And like I said, you know, you almost feel guilty. But just remember, even the soldiers, you know, they know even the soldiers need a break once in a while. So the other story that's developing in Ukraine, I believe it's, I know it's sometime this week. It's either tomorrow or the day after. The temperature is going to plunge below zero. So now you're thinking to yourself, what effect will that have on the war? And you got to, I think you got to look at that objectively and say that's going to give the advantage to Putin and the Russians, because now the tank's not going to be stuck in the mud, because, you know, because Ukraine looks like a very muddy country, by the way. Not the whole thing, but lots of parts of it. It just seems like there's mud everywhere. You know, it almost looks like the upper Midwest in winter when the temperature is above zero. I'm sorry, above freezing. And you're driving through the cornfields and everything is just mud. That's what so much of Ukraine looks like. And I didn't know this, by the way, till yesterday. Ukraine, maybe that mud is a good thing. Ukraine has some of the most fertile farmland in the entire world. But if the temperature goes below zero, now you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, you've got just, you know, volunteer army and, you know, old ladies running around with Molotov cocktails through the streets of Ukraine. You know, now temperature is going to go below zero. I think there are harsh realities about their ability to continue to put up the resistance against the much more powerful Russian army. So we'll see how that plays into things. Do not get suckered into this today. At 10 o'clock this morning, they do this every year. It is the tornado drill. They got to test the sirens. The sirens almost always show signs of deficiency, but I guess that's what the test is for. It's like, okay, we're going to pretend there's a tornado here, and the only way we can really do that is to put all the sirens on. And they put them all on, and invariably they'll say, wow, this whole, you know, corner of Jefferson County or something like that, the sirens didn't go off. Well, that's good to know, because if a real tornado comes, you need to know that ahead of time. So again, 10 o'clock today. They revised the policy. This goes back, I would say, maybe 10 years. It might even be longer than that. But you might remember this. They established a policy that when there is a tornado warning for a certain county, say there is a tornado warning issued for St. Louis County, the policy was that every adjacent county to St. Louis County, their sirens also went off. Now, they don't do that anymore, but they did that for a couple of years. Like I said, this was maybe a dozen or so years ago, which was an absolutely horrible decision and just a stupid policy, because in almost all cases, tornadoes run, you know, their path runs from the southwest to the northeast. Just generally speaking. Now, there are some variations, but not much, okay? Therefore, there'd be absolutely no point whatsoever if St. Louis County got issued with a tornado warning to also sound off the sirens to the south or to the west of St. Louis County. Makes no sense at all. The tornado can't go that way. Similarly, if you had a tornado warning in St. Charles County, the St. Louis sirens would go off. St. Louis County sirens would go off. And that was stupid, too, because the tornado can't go that way. So at least they got rid of that policy. And I hope they fired the guy who came up with that idea, because that was stupid from the word go. Anyhow, 10 o'clock today, tornado drill. It's not an invasion. Don't worry about that. At least not yet. You knew the story was coming. Falcons receiver Calvin Ridley of the NFL suspended for the entire upcoming season because he bet on some games last year. At the time, he was out with a non-football illness and his bets didn't compromise any games. He says he only wagered $1,500 and he doesn't have a gambling problem. And all of this is interesting. Okay, so he was betting on football games that was his team, but he wasn't playing. So it's not like he could deliberately drop a pass or something like that if he bet against his own team, something like that. And I don't have to tell you, the last couple of years, all of the professional sports franchises have nuzzled up next to these gambling outfits. Right in the middle of the game, you know, they go to the studio and they start talking about, you know, the odds of winning this game. You know, who's going to do this? Don't forget, Bally's this and Bally's that. Now, a football player is not even playing in the game, ends up getting suspended for a whole year. I'm not sure I like this. It doesn't seem fair, okay? Or you punish him because he broke a rule, but to take away, you know, football players, maybe get 4, 5, 6 years in the league. You know, we always hear about somebody like an Aaron Rodgers or something like that who plays for 10 years or 12 years or 15 years. But those are the exceptions. And now, you know, now this guy gambles on a game that he had no way of influencing the outcome of. Sorry, I just ended a sentence in a preposition. But I think you see my point. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley spotted together at his teammate's wedding last Saturday, so maybe that story continues. I don't watch reality TV. I think it's stupid. If you like it, that's your own business. I see no benefit to my development as a human being watching reality TV. I don't play cards either. My extended family, a lot of playing cards in this family, and I sit it out. I go do something else because it is, again, one of those things that you do. If I'm just sitting here watching TV, at least I might learn something because I'm generally watching news. So even if I'm barely paying attention, I still might learn something. Makes me a better person. Reality TV does absolutely nothing for my, you know, own self-edification, and neither does playing cards. It just seems like a complete and total waste of time. Even if you're watching sports, you might see something historically, or there might be something that happens in the game that references something that, happened in the past and sort of enriches your ability to appreciate what you're seeing on the playing surface and maybe something that would make a good story someday. But playing cards, reality TV, just I feel like I'm letting myself down if I do that. That having been said, I might at least watch a little bit as this thing that starts tonight, The Thing About Pam, which I didn't know is a series. I just thought it was a made-for-TV movie or something. This is the Renee Zellweger thing, although you won't recognize her. First of all, it's hard to recognize Renee Zellweger anyhow since she had all that plastic surgery. I don't know what the hell she was thinking because she was pretty. You know, you remember her in Jerry Maguire. She was devastatingly pretty. But for whatever reason, she didn't like the way she looked. And all of a sudden, she shows up and you're like, who the hell are you? I'm Renee Zellweger. No, you're not. A lot of plastic surgery. So, you know, again, she put on a ton of weight for this whole thing to look like Pam Hubb. And this thing starts tonight on NBC. I'll give it a shot, at least a little bit. I'll watch some of it just to see what's going on. But that was obviously in our own backyard. Late night tonight, Alicia Keys on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel is in repeats. Colbert, John C. Reilly. Wow, I watched him play the owner of the Lakers in that HBO thing that started over the weekend. Man, was that good. Winning time. The rise of the Lakers dynasty. John C. Reilly. Awfully, awfully good in this. And they got some kid to play Magic Johnson. You know, they got a guy playing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, really, really good stuff. This was very well made. Adam McKay, the former Saturday Night Live writer who has made all these amazing comedies in recent years. He was the guy who directed this thing, and they've really got something with this. I didn't think I was going to like it, but boy, was it good. John C. Reilly on to pump that show tonight, as we said, on Colbert, along with Kristen Chenoweth. James Corden, Jennifer Garner, and Greg Kinnear, and Seth Meyers as Leslie Jones, formerly of Saturday Night Live. Chris Rock and Kevin Hart going on a co-headlining comedy tour. I think they'll sell some tickets for that, don't you think? Nicole Kidman missed her Oscar nominee luncheon because she's at home recovering from, of all things, a torn hamstring. You don't get a body like that and keep a body like that without doing some serious athletics and exercising and stuff like that. Torn hamstring can happen to the best of them. Birthdays today from Dawson's Creek, James Vanderbeek, 45, Freddie Prinze Jr., 46, Gary Newman and his Tubeway Army, stuck in their cars. 64 today, and Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, 77, sang on I'm a Believer, Pleasant Valley Sunday, Last Train to Clarksville, and the Monkees theme song. Turner Classic Movies ran Some Like It Hot the other day. I recorded it, haven't seen it in years, plan on watching that off the DVR here sometime this week. Marilyn Monroe, on this date, 1960, won the Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Comedy for her performance in that movie. You know, I've done hundreds, I'm not bragging here, I'm just, this is necessary to tell the story. I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of celebrity interviews, a lot of them part of those press junkets that you do for movies in Los Angeles and New York that I always used to talk about. And, you know, you get a lot of stars. I mean, you know, you name it, I've probably interviewed that person. But every once in a while, you know, you'd say to yourself, I can't believe I'm doing this. You walk into a room and sit down, and fucking Jack Lemmon is sitting there. And about halfway through the interview, you're thinking to yourself, I'm sitting 2 feet from Jack Lemmon, and I'm like asking questions and he's answering them. What? How the? Wow. That was the deal for Glengarry Glen Ross. They did not have Al Pacino available for interviews for that, but there was a really lousy movie. I think it was called Guilty by Suspicion. I think it was sometime back in the 90s, and it was a terrible movie. It just didn't work. The movie didn't work. It was about Hollywood blacklisting in the 1950s, and Robert De Niro was in this. And I guess they said to De Niro, look, we know who you are. You're Robert fucking De Niro, but we need help on this movie because the audience responses are not coming back good. So would you mind sitting all day from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon on an otherwise perfectly good Saturday and talk to all of these people like J.C. Corcoran from St. Louis? And he said, yes. And so you're sitting there across from Robert De Niro. There were just a handful of people like that that I interviewed over the years where I said to myself, wow, wow. John Travolta was like that. You walk in the room, and of course, he's a Scientologist. So you walk in the room, and they just laser focus on you. We've talked about this before, just from a very selfish standpoint. You know, if you're interviewing somebody, you want them to be a Scientologist, because as soon as you start talking to them, they fully engage. They just lock onto you like you're the only person on earth. And you just sit there and you talk to them. Every Scientologist I've ever interviewed has been like that. And even when they were not scheduled interviews, just like when you run into somebody, what's her name from The Handmaid's Tale? Elizabeth Moss. Okay. So I'm in the Wrigley Field press box about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And press boxes are weird places because you have, you know, 35,000 people that you're looking down at in the crowd at Wrigley Field from the press box. But you're walking around up there and nobody's making a sound. You are not allowed to talk. You can whisper to the guy next to you, but that's the working press up there. And especially the writers get pretty persnickety. So all you really hear is the sound of computer keyboards clacking away. Needless to say, you can't cheer. You can't do anything. So it's like being at a baseball game, but not being at a baseball game. Now, you get into the game free and you have a tremendous vantage point. And there's food up there, and you know, you get to be a hot shot because you're sitting in the press box. All that stuff is great. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's not a very fun environment up there. At Wrigley Field, about the fifth or sixth inning, you usually see a little commotion somewhere down the hall in the press box because that means it's the arrival of the celebrity who showed up that particular day to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch. So in this particular case, here comes little Elizabeth Moss. She's a tiny little thing, and she was in the little break room in the press box, and she was sort of by herself. And so I just went up to her and said, hello, you know, welcome to Chicago. I explained the situation. You know, I'm originally from Chicago, but living in St. Louis, but I come up here every year. Oh, there's so much fun. Look at all this. Just looking right at me, just laser focused at me. And we took a couple of pictures. She just couldn't have been nicer. Remembered my name at the end of the conversation. That's when you know somebody's listening to you. You know, because how many people must a celebrity like that meet just in some typical average day? And you remember the person's name? All I did was, hi, I'm JC from St. Louis, but I'm from Chicago, blah, 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 blah. And she remembers the name. So from a very selfish standpoint, somebody who, you know, part of the job is to interview people. You know, those Scientologists are great interviews. They're crazy. They're out of their pea-picking minds, but they make great interviews.
And here he is, the Hall of Fame voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, Jack Buck, with our seventh inning stretch.
Broadcaster Jack Buck.
Hi, folks. How you doing? How do you like the color of this jacket? Holy cow! It's the Cardinals and the Cubs. I never thought I would ever do this. Let's sing this song for the greatest rivalry in the history of baseball, the Cardinals and the Cubs. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ballpark. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and crackers. I don't care if I ever get back to that baby. Root, root.
I still laugh at that because that is a tremendous talent to be able to show up in front of the crowd at Wrigley Field wearing Cardinals gear, and somehow at the end of the whole thing, you've got everybody cheering for you. That is a rare talent. Speaking of baseball, Joe DiMaggio died of lung cancer at the age of 84 on this date back in 1999. That was 23 years ago. I know people who like these exotic vacations. You just don't want to go to Cancun or the Eiffel Tower or something like that. I'm going to go walk the Great Wall of China, you know, stuff like that. This I did not know. Great Wall of China, if it's on your bucket list, you should know that it would take you about 18 months to walk all the way along it. It's about 5,500 miles long. The U.S. military manufactured way too many Purple Heart medals when they were planning the invasion of Japan. They thought a lot more of our guys, our soldiers, were going to get shot, so they manufactured a gazillion of these things. So now, if you win a Purple Heart today, they open a box and take one out from that supply all the way back in the 1940s. Has there ever been a non-human testify before Congress? My first guess would have been, was there a dog or something like that that ever showed up for some reason? Morris the cat, something like that. Can't bring a horse in. Too dangerous to bring a bear in. So you're thinking, I'll say no. Wrong. Elmo testified before a congressional subcommittee in 2002 on behalf of music education. He's the first and only non-human who's ever testified before Congress. Although you could make a case for Mark Zuckerberg. Good morning, everybody. Now go out and take that information and win some money in a bar bet. In a new poll, 65% of Americans say they have some kind of cure-all in their homes, mostly for skin problems. There aren't many specifics, but the most popular remedies include, what do we got here? Antibiotic ointment, petroleum jelly is second, followed by witch hazel, rubbing alcohol, and VapoRub. So you may have most of these cure-alls in your own home. That said, just 20% of people say they have a standard first aid kit in their home. You better have more than that if the Russians ever kill off our power grid. I used to laugh at what they would call survivalists. This was back in the 70s and 80s, and all those people who listened to Art Bell at 3 o'clock in the morning on the radio, you know, going, I better get some canned water. And I used to laugh at those people, and I ain't laughing anymore. You watch that 60 Minutes thing last weekend, and you realize that it's probably not if, but when the Russians throw a switch and it just kills our power grid for a couple of weeks. You'll be looking for one of those survivalists and, you know, looking for a can of water. We have been getting calls on a regular basis at this house for Alfred. Now, let me tell you something. My wife has a cell phone. I got a cell phone. My daughter's got a cell phone. That's the phones we use. But when we moved into this house, Spectrum said, you know what? We'll give you a phone for free, a phone line, a landline. I'm like, I really don't need one. I don't even think I want one. They're going, we'll just throw it in for free. And I'm like, well, if you're throwing it in for free, we might as well take it. I probably won't use it, but we'll take it anyhow. Bad decision, because the phone fucking rings nonstop all day, and it's telemarketers. And like I said, one company in particular asking for Alfred. Now, I didn't know about this because it was during the day and I'm usually doing other stuff. And if the landline, I know, I don't even know what the number is. I know I didn't give it to anybody because I don't even know what it is. It's just sort of there, I guess, for emergency purposes. I don't know. So if the thing rings, I know it's a telemarketer because that's the only way anybody would get the number. Well, what I didn't know is that one of the calls that come that's been coming in almost every day for like the last 6 months is from one company asking for Alfred. And my wife didn't tell me about this until last week. So I said, all right, next time the phone rings, I'm going to answer. Just don't pick it up. Let me get it. Sure enough, the next day, I get a call from this woman. She goes, hi, is this Alfred? I say, yes, it's Alfred. Hello, Alfred. I'm from such and such investing company or whatever, and we want to know if you're interested in selling your house. I said, oh, no, we're not going to sell the house. Now, number one, I'm not Alfred. Number two, I wouldn't tell a stranger on the phone whether or not I was interested in selling my house. But I just play along because I figure maybe this is the best way to make this stop. Well, what would you say if we offered you cash for the sale of your house? Go, oh, no. I think I made up some story about we have a sick aunt who's living with us and she's wired up to all this medical electronic equipment and we can't move her. So, yeah, no, there's no way we will be selling this house because we can't move my sick aunt. Okay, well, thank you very much. Fine. Calls have ended.
I have a question. Your cell phone rings and you don't recognize the number. What do you do? Ignore it. Don't answer it. Not me. I like life. The other day, my cell phone rang 917. That's a New York number. I didn't know who it was. I picked it up anyway. I hit talk. I said, hello. Guy in the line goes, hey, Bruce, what's going on? My name's Jay, not Bruce. So I said, nothing much, man. What's going on with you? And he said, I'll tell you what's going on. I just got an email about the budget. It's supposed to be $15,000. Now it's $10,000. And I'd like to know what's up. I got excited in my chest. I grabbed the steering wheel. I was like, okay, focus. Your name is Bruce. There's a budget. It was $15,000. Now it's $10,000. No one's happy about it. That's all we know. That's all we know. So I just repeated back to him what he said to me. And I go, $10,000? It's supposed to be $15,000. He goes, yeah, I know. Well, I just got an email, and now it's 10. I go, listen, man, I don't know what to tell you. I've been on the road all day. I haven't even seen it. And he goes, did you send this out? I give him some attitude to Bruce. And I didn't like it. I said, listen, man, the budget was $15,000. We had a couple extra expenditures. It went up to $16,200. I reworked it, got it down to $14,700. I had $300 to play with, so I called it $15,000, and I sent it out. And he goes, yeah, well, now it's 10, man. And I was like, oh, my God, that worked. Phase one complete. Like, now I'm in the door. I have a 401k. I was at the Christmas party, okay? So he goes, did Larry okay this? I go, listen, man, I took the budget to Larry. Larry said it looked fine, but I knew it was my ass on the line, so I ran it by Jennifer, just in case, just to double check. Jennifer said it looked good. I sent it out. He goes, yeah, well, now it's 10, man. And I realized, this guy has no idea what's going on over there. He hasn't talked to Larry. I know he hasn't talked to Bruce. He doesn't even recognize my voice. I know he didn't talk to Jennifer. I just made her up. So he goes, listen, man, what are we going to do about this? And I go, listen, I'm on the road right now. I haven't even seen the email. Why don't you give Larry a call, check in with him, see what he says, call me back. Just praying he will, because that return phone call was going to be amazing. And he goes, you know what? Why don't we wait till you get home, you check the email, you call Larry, you call me back. And I go, nah, bro. Larry knows way more about this than I do. Give him a call me back. He goes, okay, hangs up the phone. to which I explode with euphoria. Because there's a small business in New York that is crumbling to the ground. Over $5,000, and nobody can find Jennifer. They're looking. I get home, I'm so excited, I take out my cell phone, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna save that guy's number, give him a call in a couple days, touch base, you know what I mean? Check in. See where we're at, you know? So I save it in my phone under random guy. That's what he is, he's a random guy. 4 or 5 days pass, I forget about it. Laying on my couch, watching the ball game, phone rings on the dining room table. I get up, watching the game, grab the phone, watching the game, look down, random guy. But it's been a couple days, you know what I mean? So I'm like, random guy? Who's random guy? Like, who would even have random guy as their name that comes up? And then I was like, random guy! Like, now I'm panicked, you know what I mean? People's lives have been affected. It's only $5,000, but I don't know how big that company is. But I'm addicted to it, you know what I mean? I started this thing, I need to see it through. So I put my earbuds in, just get a little distance, you know, just get a little space. And I hit talk. Same guy goes, hey, Larry, what's going on? Yeah, now he's calling me Larry. He knows something's up, but I'm not about to back down. I go, nothing much, man. What's going on with you? And he goes, well, I got us on conference call with Janelle and Marie. And I was like, okay, here we go. This is why we play the game, you guys. This is why we play the game. So I go, welcome to the call, ladies, as if to say, welcome to the show. You know what I mean? Here we go. Marie takes the lead. She goes, hey, Larry, what time is it where you are? I live in L.A. They're in New York. It's 5:30. So I go, 8:30. It's 8:30. She goes, really, what's the weather like? And I was like, oh, weather's nice. She goes, you know, this doesn't sound like Larry. And I go, oh, yeah? Who's it sound like? And a random guy chirps him from the back, and he goes, Sounds like Bruce! Like he's gonna blow this case wide open. And I go, listen, guys, this isn't Larry and it isn't Bruce. And Marie goes, who is this? And I said, I'm just some guy who had nothing better to do than to mess with you guys. And Marie got pissed. She was not happy. She goes, you understand we're trying to run a business over here? And I was like, yeah, well, I got that from the budget. I just figured it was a business. And she goes, what do you think? This is some kind of joke? And I was like, oh, a little bit. Thought it's pretty funny. And she goes, let me ask you something. And I go, no, you let me ask you something. And she goes, what? And I go, where we at with the budget?
I'm Jay Larson. Thank you, guys. How funny is that guy? Comedian Jay Larson right there. That is one of the funniest things I have ever heard. All right, hope you enjoyed that. And that's it for the Tuesday, March 8th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. 252 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning right about 8 o'clock, absolutely free. We posted late yesterday. Sorry, had a little technical malfunction there, but everything is back up and running right now. We archive everything here on the website, so if you miss a podcast, you can pick that up at your convenience. We only do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable, and help us stay in the top 10% of all podcasts in this country. That's where we are right now. Continue to spread the word, please. You may email me, jc@jcontheline.com, on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.